may turn away when they need it, and riches may turn into rust. Life may end just when it is sweetest. Out depend on the strength of the Savior, and you can depend on His power to save, and you can be sure that He knows all your troubles, and you can depend on the love that our joy may turn into sorrow, and treasures of life pass away. But you can depend on the strength of the Savior, and you can depend on His power to save, and you can be sure that He knows all your troubles, and you can depend on the love that He
Welcome to another Bible study brought by the Hamilton Church of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now this is a very simple little statement, but it's one that would cure many of the ills of the whole world. Just as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. In the verse before that, he says to recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Do not return evil for evil. That's the Christian spirit. That's the nature of Christianity. And it's what the Bible tells us to do. Join us today in our Bible study.
My trust, O Lord, listen me over outcast,
right over
the chilly Jordan, and there,
somewhere
in heaven city, I'll set me down. Set me down, I'll wear a crown of glory, I'll shout
and tell
the happy story. My heart has listened me over, and I shall wear a crown.
Lord, I'm tired.
Heart tries to send me over. Heart tries to send me over. Soon my Lord's gonna come for me, then I'll be heaven bound. Heart tries to send me over. Heart tries to send me over. Heart tries to send me over, and I shall wear a crown. The road
I walk
is often rugged, the load
I bear
is often heavy, but soon
I know
my feet shall stand upon higher ground each tear
and care
I leave behind me. I shout
and say goodbye
to trouble. My heart tries to send me over, and I shall wear a crown.
It is our great pleasure and privilege to continue the study of the book of Genesis today. In our last lesson, we were in the 17th chapter of Genesis, and we had gotten down to the 17th verse of that chapter. But today I'd like to begin and read from verse 15 through 22 of the 17th chapter of Genesis. So beginning with verse 15 of Genesis 17, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Well, in our last lesson, we discussed the fact that Sarah had her name changed. Verse 16 here, though, he turns the blessing to Sarah, said, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Twice God said, I will bless her. She had been barren all her life and was now 90 years old, so it would take a very special blessing for her to have a son at this time. When God said she would be a mother of nations, he apparently meant Judah, Israel, and Edom. Well, verse 17 says, that's where our lesson begins today, Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Here we see that Abraham, first of all, showed great humility. He fell on his face, the Bible says. The more favors and honors God bestows upon us, the lower we should be in our own eyes, and the more reverent and submissive toward God. Also showed great joy. He laughed. It was a laugh of delight, not a laugh of doubt or disbelief. For God gave him no rebuke, as he later did when Sarah laughed in Genesis 18:13. But even the promises of God are a joy to God's people as well as his performances. There is the joy of faith as well as the joy after the faith had been fulfilled. John 8:56, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. These are the words of Jesus. Abraham had joy at the promise, for as he saw heaven in the promise of Canaan, he saw Christ in the promise of Isaac. Abraham also showed great admiration. He says, Shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? Verse 17. He does not speak of this as being doubtful, for he staggered not at the promise. Romans 4:20. Abraham regards this promise of a son as something very wonderful and as something which could be brought about by the almighty power of God. He recognized this as something very kind, which drew him closer to God, and as something which was rather surprising. In Psalms 126, 1 through 3, When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So verse 18 of our chapter today says, And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Here Abraham prays for Ishmael. Not that Ishmael might be preferred before the son that Sarah should bear, but begging that Ishmael not be abandoned and forsaken by God. Even though God is talking with him about the promised son, still Abraham takes this opportunity to put in a good word for Ishmael. Here we have another example of seeing that God does allow us to make our requests known to him. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the NIV version says, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Whatever causes us to care and have fear should be taken to God in prayer. And of course, parents should pray for all their children. As Job offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, this he did continually, Job 1 and 5, so Abraham, when promised a son by Sarah, which he greatly desired, let it be known that his son by Hagar was not forgotten. Abraham still has a care and a love and concern for Ishmael. The prospect of future blessings should not make us forget our former blessings. And the greatest thing we can desire for our children is that they may live before God. That is, that they may live the kind of lives which are pleasing to God. Spiritual blessings are the best blessings. And those are the blessings we should most desire for our children, they will live well if they live with God. God answers Abraham's prayer for Ishmael in verse 20 by saying, "And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." God says, "I have heard thee regarding your request for Ishmael. Behold, I have blessed him." That is, I have blessings in store for him. "His posterity shall be numerous. I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget." These 12 princes are later listed in the generation of Ishmael in Genesis 25, verses 12 through 16. We read here of great temporal blessings, but the church was not brought out of his loins, and the covenant was not placed in his family. The blessings of the covenant are reserved for Isaac and are given to him. Verse 19, "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Verse 21 says, "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." God here plainly shows that Ishmael was not to have the covenant made with him, and the promised seed was not to come from Ishmael. God repeats the promise of a son by Sarah. "Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed." Even true believers need to have God's promises repeatedly given to them that they may have strong consolation. We tend to forget. Our memories may wane, but God's promises are there, unchanged, every time we read them. God names the promised son Isaac, the word means laughter, because Abraham rejoiced when the promise was given. If God's promises be our joy, then the fulfillment of those promises will bring exceeding joy. God clearly states the covenant was to be established with Isaac. In Romans 9, 6 through 8, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." At this point, the covenant was settled between God and Abraham. Verse 22 says, "And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham." Presumably, when God went up, he went back to heaven. Our communion with God here may be broken and interrupted, but in heaven, it will be a continual and everlasting feast. Now, verses 23 through 27, "And Abraham took Ishmael, and all that were born in his house, and all that were his money, every among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of the foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the strangers, were circumcised with him." These verses tell of how Abraham obeyed the law of circumcision. He himself and all his family were circumcised. They received the token of the covenant and thus distinguished themselves from all other families which did not have the rite of circumcision given. It was complete obedience. Abraham did not question it. God's will was God's law to Abraham. He did it because God told him to do it. This is reason enough. It was speedily obedience. In the selfsame day, it says, while the command is still sounding in our ears and the sense of duty is fresh, it's good to apply ourselves to it immediately, lest we put it off to a more convenient season and deceive ourselves. It was a universal obedience. He did not circumcise his family and excuse himself. He set the example, nor did he take privilege of the seal of the covenant to himself only, but wanted all to share it with him. And this included Ishmael. This circumcising of all the family may have left them incapacitated for a while and could have been dangerous in that day, but Abraham's obedience did not falter because of this. Abraham did this, though there might have been many reasons to hesitate or not do it. Circumcision was painful. To grown men, it was shameful. While they were healing and unfit for action, their enemies might take action against them, as Simeon and Levi did against the Shechemites. and Abraham had been justified and accepted by God for a long time now, surely he did not have to do this. Abraham was 99 years old, so maybe he could be excused because of his age. This was a very strong thing to do religiously. The Perizzite and the Canaanite, which dwelt in the land, might mock and ridicule him for doing such a thing. Yet God's command was to do it, and this overruled all these objections, and 1,000 more. God's command to do outweighs all other arguments not to do. What God required, we must do, not conferring with flesh and blood. However, we must be able to clearly show from God's word that he does command it. Theories and ideas coming from the mind of man must not be taken for a command from God. So that concludes chapter 17, but now I'd like to move into chapter 18. Soon after the visit God made to Abraham giving the covenant as described in chapter 17, Abraham had another visit from God. But this visit was not an appearance of God in his glory, but rather was in the form of a man and two friends, traveling through Hebron in the heat of the day. If you read chapters 18 and 19, it becomes clear that the other two men were angels, who later were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah to bring God's judgment on those wicked cities. The leader of the other two men was actually God himself, and since no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, John 1:18. So it is likely that this figure, to whom Abraham refers as Lord, may have actually been Christ in a pre-incarnate state. So beginning in this 18th chapter of Genesis now, reading verses 1 through 8, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." The first verse of this chapter makes it plain that this was an actual appearance of God, and the second verse tells us that the appearance was actually in the form of 3 men. Abraham was sitting in his tent door when the men appeared. Nothing is said about them riding or even walking. Abraham looked up, and there they were. This appearance of God to Abraham seems to have more ease and familiarity and less grandeur and majesty than the previous appearances we've read of. And this reminds us of that great visit the Son of God would make in the fullness of time, when he would come into the world and the Word would be made flesh and he would have a body like one of us. Abraham sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He most likely had been praying and meditating on the things of God, but he was also in a posture ready to assist and give hospitality to a stranger. God visit those who are waiting for him. When Abraham was thus sitting, he saw 3 strangers coming toward him. Though there was nothing in their outward appearance to show that they were from heaven, Abraham sensed that there was something special about these men. These 3 spiritual heavenly beings had now assumed human bodies that they might be visible to Abraham and might be able to converse with him. Abraham distinguished one from the rest by calling him My Lord. He is called Jehovah, verse 13. The apostle uses this occasion to teach about hospitality. In Hebrews 13:3, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Those who have been willing to entertain strangers have on occasion entertained angels, which is an indescribable honor and satisfaction. Galatians 6, Verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Notice how Abraham treated them. Forgetting his age and the respect it deserved, he ran to meet them. He showed all due courtesy and bowed himself toward the ground as though as yet to know nothing of them except that they appeared to be honorable, respectable men. Godliness does not lend toward ill manners and unfriendly behavior, but it encourages good manners and teaches to honor all as we have opportunity. Abraham was very sincere as he offered hospitality. Verses 3 and 4, "And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." It is very fitting for those whom God has blessed with plenty to be willing to share with others as the need and the occasion presents itself. This is done with pleasure, not grudgingly, for both God and man love a cheerful giver. Proverbs 23:6-7, "Eat not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Those who would associate with God must desire to have it and make adequate preparation. God is a guest well worth entertaining. Abraham's entertainment was plain and simple, not extravagant or fancy. His dining room was under a tree. His meal was veal and cakes baked on a hearth, and these were hastily prepared. There were no dainties, but good, plain, wholesome food. Though Abraham was rich and his guests were very honorable, Abraham took what he had and shared it with his guests. Note how the text reads verses 5 through 8. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, "Do so as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it, and took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they did eat. Abraham and his wife Sarah were both very busy and attentive in showing hospitality to their guests. They gave the best they had available. Sarah is the cook and baker. Abraham runs to fetch the calf and brings out the milk and butter and considers it to be not beneath him to stand and wait at the table. Abraham and Sarah were genuinely showing the guests that they were very welcome. Genuine friendship will stoop to anything but sin. Christ himself taught the disciples to wash one another's feet in humble love. Those that obey themselves shall be exalted. Here is an example of where Abraham's faith shows itself in good works. And so must ours, or else our faith is dead, according to James 2, verses 21 and 26. Here the father of the faithful demonstrates charity and generosity and good housekeeping. Here we learn from him to do good and communicate. Hebrews 13 says, "But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices is God well pleased." And again, Galatians 6 and 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Verses 9 through 15 say, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." These heavenly guests have come to confirm the promise that Abraham should have a son by Sarah. They receive Abraham's kind entertainment, but they also return his kindness. Matthew 10:40-42, He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth in the name of a prophet shall receive a reward, and he that receives man in the name of a righteous man, righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink of these as a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Verse 9 says, And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? By naming Sarah, they indicated to Abraham that though they were strangers, yet they were well knew him and his family. Sarah could hear them, and by using her name, they would get her attention. They caused her to listen to what was to be said. She needed to hear what was said because the promise was to her also, and she must conceive by faith also. Today, all persons are involved in the promises of God, and all need to hear these promises, just as Sarah needed to hear as much as Abraham did at this time. This brings our lesson to a close. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, Goodbye, friends.
Must I go an empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet. Not one day of service given, must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Oh, the years